If you would take your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we've been in this section of the scriptures since the beginning of the year, and maybe it's just because I'm a bit slow, I suppose, but we want to learn this thing and get this down. Our theme this year, of course, is study to show thyself approved. And, we as Christians, as we grow, we ought to be greater and greater students of the Word. And because let me tell you something, there are no other answers in life except for the ones this book holds. This is it. This is the foundation of everything in our lives. And we've got to know this book. And listen, I hope that from the time that you're saved until the time that you take your last breath, that you know this book better at the end than you did at the beginning. That's what it's about, getting to know the Bible. And so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, at this time, we're going to read responsively. We'll start together in verse 14, and we'll go all the way through verse 26 this morning. I'll read the odd verses by myself because of my current state, and you, because of your current state of being nice and even and balanced people, you get to read the even verses with me out loud. Let's begin together in verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. As we've been talking about these things now since January, I don't have time to go back and to rehash everything we've talked about. But if you start in verse 14 and verse 15, and you go through there, you see a building block. Each time, each verse, one thing stacked upon another, because listen, folks, that's what the Christian life is all about. I hope that I'm a more mature Christian and a more mature servant of God than I was when I was a freshman in Bible college. I mean, I hope so. Maybe in December I was a half freshman at one point, but that's okay. Everybody's a half freshman at some point. But I'm going to pick on this guy because it's just fun. He's got that great smile that comes on right afterwards, and you're just painting a target over there. It's easy to hit. I've been in this thing a while, and you know what? As Christians, if we've been in something a while, we ought to be better at it than we were when we started. That's a sign of maturity, a sign of growth, and that's what we all need. So we've talked about all these things, about setting our mind on a subject, being earnest, diligent, laboring and endeavoring in an intellectual sense, with an intellectual power. Because listen, this is not just a physical work, this is an intellectual work. Because we have the renewing of our mind, according to the Word of God, being washed by the water of the Word. That's something we need in our lives on a continual basis as Christians, to grow, to be approved unto God, a workman. And I love that word. It's a skillful artificer. Someone who is not just a, minimum wage, table busser or dishwasher, but rather one who is skillful in his trade. Skillful in what we do. Folks, we need to rightly divide the word of truth. It means to cut straight. And that's what we've got to become in our Christian lives. We need to shun profane and vain babblings. The world will eat at you like a cancer. And it will take over your life and cause your faith to be overthrown. We've got to avoid those things. We know that God's foundation of salvation in our lives is sure. He knows that we're His because of salvation. But do we recognize Him as ours? You see, we've got to do that. As Paul is telling Timothy, he's like, look, if you're going to name the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. Live the life. Be what you should be as a Christian. And then we got into talking about the different vessels and how we need to be a vessel of honor, whatever kind of vessel we are. We need to be a clean vessel, a vessel that's pure and sanctified. Last week we talked about, and you preacher boys, you'll understand this. I love it when the scripture gives you the outline. Isn't that great? This one's ready made. He says here that as a vessel of honor, we're supposed to be sanctified. We're supposed to be meet. That's M-E-E-T. That's a good one. And that word meet simply means that we're easily used. We're useful and profitable in His hands. Why would you want to be a tool that's hard to use? Who uses a tool that's hard to use? Nobody. You want a tool that's easy to use. And then we need to be prepared. And I love the word prepared because it means you're already ready to be used. Why would God want to wait around for you to get on the program? He's going to use the tool that's already ready to be used. And so there you go. 3-point outline, guys. It's free because it's in the scriptures. That's not mine. And so you understand that we have that opportunity. So as Paul is kind of wrapping up this charge to his student, his son in the faith, this Timothy, this man who we know to have become the preacher of the church of Ephesus and other ventures that he takes on in his life. But you understand, he wants him to be successful. God wants you to be successful. That's why the commands in scripture are there. We know that God's commands are not grievous. He's doing this for our benefit, for our abundance, for our blessings in life. God wants us to have these things. So he talks about all the good things, the things that we should do, the things that we should accomplish in our lives. And then in verse 22, he gives Timothy a reminder. Now, if you know something about Timothy, you realize that Timothy was young in the faith, if you will. But he was also young in age. He was one that was known to have been younger as a preacher. And remember, he said, let no man despise thy youth. Okay? So, as we are young in the faith and if we are young in age, can I tell you something? There are things that plague us in our lives. You know what they're called? Youthful lusts. Why? Because we're human beings. Because we're made that way. Do you know that as I grow older, there are certain things that don't appeal to me as much anymore? You understand that? That's just how it works. Why? Because as a physical human being, I am growing up, right? There are things that used to, if you will, be of a fancy to me that are no longer of a fancy to me anymore, okay? As I grow older and have more aches and pains, I don't really have a yearning to participate in certain athletics anymore. I just don't. When before, yeah, sign me up. If anybody's playing anything, I don't care what game it is, I'll play. But now with a separated shoulder and, you know, more aches and pains and a little more around the belly area here, I don't do as well. And you know what? I don't exercise as much as I should anymore. So after about one or two games of pickup basketball, I'm done. Anybody? Nobody else is done. Okay, I guess you all are better shape than I am. Come on, Brother Minter. Oh, you don't even get to one game. but there are things. But see, Paul thought it necessary to tell Timothy, flee also youthful lusts. Now, why would he wouldn't tell him that if it wasn't something that was a plague to him? Or to others in the faith, for that matter. And here's the thing, Christian. I want to say this, and then we'll go on with more things about this. But do you understand that the longer you're saved, less things of the world should entice you. Less things of the world should get to you, or you should fancy, or should desire, or think on those things, because you've grown up in the faith. That's just something that should happen. But Paul says, run away from these things. Flee youthful lusts. You have to understand that the lust of this world, the lust of the eyes, right? You understand that, right? The lust of the flesh and the pride of life. These things are a hindrance to us. You know, there are sins that so easily beset us. We need to run with patience the race that is set before us. So you understand that these things, we need to flee youthful lust. The reason why we need to flee them, because they're always going to chase you. I mean, how many times do you see in our world, and by the way, we're going to talk about some of the physical things that plague us as human beings. But you see how, for instance, in the news, you see how things happen, and I'm not talking about saved people necessarily, but things happen, and you see some 70-year-old guy end up coming around and being with a 20-something-year-old young lady. What is this? It's nonsense. What is that? Youthful lusts. And by the way, if you don't flee them, they will chase you down. They will catch you. You've got to run away. Paul says, look, you are in a place. By the way, many people believe that at this time, Timothy was actually preaching and the pastor of the church of Ephesus at this point in time. You want to know something about the city of Ephesus? It was wicked. And these sensual type things and these sexual type things were all around that city. No wonder Paul says to Timothy, you've got to run away from this stuff because it's prevalent. And listen, it will catch you if you don't run away. We need to flee these youthful lusts. We need to run away, and we'll go back to 1 Dory chapter 1. We need to escape, right? It looks a lot like the word escape. Flee. We need to flee. We need to escape the lust that is in this world. I told you before, and you young men here, don't take this too much to heart, but do at the same time. You know, our bus songs, I'm sure some of you are bus workers, bus captains, etc. They're not always doctrinal. You know that? You know, we can beat the devil any old time. No, you can't. Okay? And don't walk into that one with a ha-ha and a hey-hey-hey and all that stuff, because he'll eat your lunch. The devil is not some adversary just to stick your nose at and just say, I'm going to get you. Oh, no, he'll get you. And, you know, we've got to watch out, because this adversary is a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. You know what? Run away. Get away. Escape from these youthful lusts. You don't want to mess with them. And listen, certainly don't say, well, I can handle that. Because the moment you say, I can handle that, it will handle you. How many times, I know, Dr. Hall, you have counseled many of people, teenagers, young college students, etc. And either the guy will say or the gal will say, well, I can change him or I can change her. No, you can't. Only God can. You need to understand that we can do nothing without Christ. Take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The church in Corinth, you understand, was a church that was struggling. What were they struggling with? Worldly things. And if you want to call them that, youthful lusts. They were having a hard time, so Paul had to set them straight. And he tries to give them some things to understand in life that we need to flee from or escape from in our lives. Look at chapter 10, verse 6. He says, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So he's giving us an example. The example of the children of Israel, etc. You can read the rest of the chapter, the previous things that he talks about. But there are examples that we should not lust after evil things. You know, the Bible says that we are His workmanship, that we what? That we should. We should follow Christ. We should be manifested unto good works. We should depart from evil. Folks, there's a lot of shoulds in the Word of God. And there's a lot of conditional things that if we would do this, God will do this. And we've got to take heed because we should not lust after evil things. And he gives the example, as they also lusted. He says, neither be ye idolaters. You understand that the sensual type stuff, the physical type stuff that we need to flee from is not the only thing. Idolatry is huge today, even among Christians. You want to know what that is? That's a youthful lust. How many of you have wasted time before? Yeah. You know, time is one of those commodities you can't get back. And you know what? I was saved at eight. I'm changing my tune now. I used to say 8.5 years old, but it was more like 8.75. Because it was in summertime, and I'm a September, the best month of the year, individual. But you understand that I wasted from time I was 8.5 years old, 8.75 years old, till the time that I was 19, almost 19, I wasted all those teenage years on my own self. I submitted to the youthful lusts of this world. I chose my own path. I didn't follow God. I was saved, but I was not a, if you will, good servant of Jesus Christ. I gave in to the whatever it is that I desire, whatever it is that I wanted, and I lived for myself, and I wasted those years. Idolatry does not just mean you pray down to a little idol, that you burn incense, you know, and have a little shrine. Idolatry is anything you worship above God. And you know what it can be? It can be entertainment. It can be a sports team. It can be your iPhone or your Android phone. It can be Candy Crush. Whatever it is that takes you away from worshiping God could be your idol that you're worshiping. You know what he's saying? Look, if you're a babe in Christ, I understand that you're going to be sucked in by the youthful lust. But as you grow as a Christian, you got to realize you need to flee also youthful lusts. You need to run away. You need to escape them because they will get you if you don't. He says, neither let us... He talks about idolatry. Look at back at chapter 10. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication. So we have that there. That's a youthful lust. We have idolatry. We have this fornication. We have these sexual type things that are so prevalent in our world today. He says, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. He says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye. You notice that all these things are youthful lusts. These are things that immature Christians participate in. How many of you have ever complained before? Can I tell you something? Instead of a capital B for Baptist, we should have a capital C for complainers. Or a capital M for murmurers, right? Isn't God good? By the way, if salvation is the only thing you get from God, isn't that enough? What do you have to complain about? At last I checked in reading through these scriptures, there are a lot of people that suffered worse things and still gave glory to God for them all. How about Job? How about Paul? How about Peter? How about these guys? All that they went through, you understand? I mean, David, yes, I know that some of the things that they went through were because of their own devices that they chose the wrong things, and they had to suffer some consequences. I get it. But do you understand that even through all those things, God is still good? And God tells us to count it all joy when we enter into diverse temptations. You understand that? So even some of the negative things that God puts in our lives, we should be thankful for, because they're meant to develop patience and develop us and to mold us and shape us into what God wants us to be. But all these things are negative things, things that we should flee away from, things that we should escape. Look what he says here. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. What's this talking about? You understand that as we go back to our text today, Paul says, flee also youthful lusts. He says this because as a vessel of honor, sanctified, meet, and prepared unto every good work, we've got to escape the snares of the devil. The devil knows that lust works in our lives. You understand that the word lust simply means that is a longing for what is forbidden. As a Christian, there's a lot of things that are forbidden. You know why? Because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So guess what? The things that are light are acceptable. And all the darkness is unacceptable. We should only desire the light. We should not desire any of the darkness. Why? Because it's darkness. And because he is light and in him is no darkness at all, I should be light and there should be no darkness in me at all. That's why Paul says run away. Run away. Since we're on animated movies, you know, there's one, you know, the about the bugs and the little bugs, like, oh, the light. And he's going to the light. Don't go to the light. Don't go to the light. That's what the devil's trying to do. He's telling him to go. Now, I know the light zaps him and kills him, but that's not what we're talking about today. So it's not a perfect illustration, but you know, we ought to go to the light. It's not going to zap you and kill you. It's going to be good for you. Okay. Don't go to the darkness. That'll kill you. The Bible tells us that it'll kill you. You understand that as we grow in the Christian life, we need to run away, we need to escape, we need to flee these youthful lusts. These things that, if you will, beset us from what we ought to be in the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon is encouraging his son. He says this, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. He says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Just don't even go there. That's a modern thing you can understand, right? Don't even go there. He says, flee away. Get away from it. Avoid it. Pass by it. Don't even go that direction because it will suck you in. I don't know if you could get any stronger than Paul was about this warning. He says, flee also youthful lust. He tells us to shun profane and vain babblings. He tells us to watch out for these things, to purge ourselves, to depart from iniquity. And he says, flee also youthful lust. So he says, look, this is a process of cleaning that we need to accomplish in our lives. You understand that Job had conquered these things in many ways. Why? Well, God says he was a perfect and upright man. He was one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Now you understand, escheweth is similar to fleeing. It's you avoid, you push away, you get away from, you don't consider evil. Paul told the Corinthians to not give in, not to lust after evil things. Take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, I'm only getting through point number one here today, so I guess point two will be next week's sermon. As I was telling Dr. Hall, that's why there's a sign on my door that says that the time has failed me, because it always fails me. Look at verse 1. Paul says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor,
that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. What does that say? Escape. Right? Flee. Run away from. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. You understand that the lust of this world and the things of this world and the things that the world offers, it's foolish to the Christian. That's why we need to flee these youthful lusts. You understand that this stuff that we're encased in right here wants the world. It wants sin. It wants the things that please the flesh. It desires it. And you've got to run away from it. We've got to escape. By the way, God says that one of the ways we can escape this flesh is to crucify it. To mortify the deeds of the flesh. Anyways, that's another thought. I don't have time for that. Can't chase that rabbit. Look at the rest of this. He says here, but they which fall into rich, many a foolish and hurtful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. That's 1 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, he tells Timothy again, flee also youthful lusts. But look at the rest of the verse. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Now in our text, he says this, flee also youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You think that Paul thought that from 1 Timothy, the first letter to Timothy, and 2 Timothy, that maybe, you know, I forgot to tell Timothy this in the first letter. So I'll tell him in the second letter. Folks, the repetitions in the Bible are not because God forgot something. They're for emphasis. Why? I'm going to guess that from the first letter of Timothy to the second letter of Timothy, that Timothy still was struggling with this. And so Paul says again to Timothy, flee also youthful lusts, but follow after. We need to understand that at the rest of chapter 6, verse 12, I believe it is, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Can I tell you something? It's a fight. And if you try to flee or escape, by the way, if you are a prisoner of war and you try to escape, it's going to be a fight. The devil's not going to let go easily. He's not, you're going to go over to the devil and say, all right, I'm going to resist you, devil. And we know it said, the Bible says he'll flee from us. But listen, he's not going to go without a fight. He's not going to take his little tentacles out of you very easily. He doesn't want you to succeed. He doesn't want you to be let go, to go back to serving God, and to go back to the light and success and blessing. And he wants to keep you as long as he can. It's a battle that we have to fight. If you want to be a vessel unto honor, if you want to be set apart for a certain purpose, you want to be easily used, and you want to be already ready to be used, you've got to escape the snares of this world. And you've got to fight to escape. How badly do you want to get out? Some of us don't want to get out very badly. How many times have people come down to an old-fashioned altar and left their sin at the altar and then picked it up on their way out? How badly do you want to get away from sin? When is enough enough? When am I going to say that I'm going to not do that anymore? You know, we're supposed to confess and forsake things. Flee. Get away from them. Escape them. Guess what? You can. You know how? Through the power of God. Because you can't do it in the flesh. We need to learn. We need to heed. Flee also youthful lusts. And since it took me so long to get through point number one, we're going to have to do point number two next time. But he does say, I'll give you a little teaser here. Follow after. Pursue. Press toward. Accomplish. What? What's the first one? Righteousness. Righteousness. You know what righteousness is? It's not what we think it is. It's what God thinks it is. You know, we got to stop defining things for ourselves and let the Word of God define them. Because some of us are caught up in the lusts of this world. You understand that we're not supposed to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know what the will of God is for you? Flee also youthful lusts, and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Vessel of honor, sanctified, meet, prepared, flee also youthful lusts.